Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Kevin Williamson of National Review Online in for Jim Garrity today. Jim will be back on Monday, we think. And Kevin, great to have you with us again. And, you know, sometimes we have to stretch for good news. We've done it a couple times this week, and lately it just seems like whether it's the economy or the foreign stage, it's just you really have to grind on and sometimes settle for things that aren't as bad as they could be. But today we get a great story. All of us were horrified, of course, by what happened to Gabby Giffords and all those other people, several of whom lost their lives at the shooting in Tucson back in January. She's obviously been in recovery, obviously away from the cameras. But now she'll be at the launch of the Space Shuttle Endeavor, which her husband is commanding today. And whether Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal, just what she's been able to accomplish, the miracle, the fact that she even survived being shot in the head, just a great celebration today. None of us are under the illusion that she doesn't still have a long way to go, but the fact that she gets to go, that gets to watch her husband go on one of the final shuttle flights, and that's a whole other story, a great celebration of all the space program has done, even though it's about to be diminished greatly. But plenty of reason to celebrate down in Florida today.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, it was just, it seems like it was just the day before yesterday that she got shot. And now she's back. She's watching the shuttle launch. She's, you know, walking up the stairs to get to the airplane and all the rest of it. It's just, it's an amazing story. And I guess the best thing that you can do in a horrible situation like this is to say, you know, look, you kooks, you can go out there and shoot people. You can do whatever it is you're going to do. But, you know, some of us are still going to recover. Some of us are still going to pull through it. It's amazing that she's been able to do what she's done. It's a tribute both to the doctors and to her and to her family and all the rest of it. And it's just, there's no good outcome to a story like that, but it's as good an outcome as one can imagine.
Absolutely right. And it was very good to see, and you usually see this at time of tragedy on Capitol Hill. I remember talking to a Republican member of Congress in the days following the shooting, and obviously Gabby Giffords had just won a pretty contentious congressional race last year to win re-election, yeah. As you would expect, but it was still good to hear the congressman saying, look, I just want Gabby Giffords to be back in Congress as soon as possible. They didn't necessarily agree on a lot, but they were good friends. They saw each other in the airport and on the House floor from time to time. And just that humanity, when you think you lose it in some of the ferocity of these Washington debates, what was good to see then, and we're obviously going to see it again today. And if she does recover to the extent where she can return to work, I'm sure we'll see it in an even greater way then.
Right, and you want her back on the job in full form so that you can beat her in the next available election, fair and square.
That's right, although some people already have her running for Senate and the seat being vacated by John Kyle. I'm not sure even she is contemplating anything like that more than just making the next step in her recovery. But good for her, good for Commander Kelly. It's been their reaction to all this has been quite a story, and we obviously wish the Endeavor crew the very best on this second-to-last shuttle mission as well. So on to number two now, and Kevin, I don't know what Jimmy Carter is up to. Maybe he's worried that Barack Obama is going to supplant him as the worst president in modern times. Maybe he's worried that Obama is going to ruin more things on the international stage. And Carter's now in North Korea. They're meeting with the elders, which is a very cryptic term. But basically, he's now come out and said that the United States is guilty of human rights violations against North Korea because we haven't provided the type of food assistance needed to help prevent the mass starvation among the North Korean people. Never mind the fact that the North Koreans are the ones starving their own people, and they're the ones that keep welching on agreements with their nuclear program that would get that food and other supplies to the Korean people if, in fact, the government would actually send those supplies out to the people. So somehow we're the bad guys here, and somehow Jimmy Carter has sullied his reputation even further.
Well, I don't think he sullied his reputation even further. I mean, he sullied it already to the extent that one can. You know, his famous libel case years ago where I think Jeffrey Dahmer, or it was Ted Bundy, had sued someone for libel, and the court decided you can't sue anybody for libel. You have no reputation left to ruin because you're a serial killer. You know, Jimmy Carter is the political equivalent of that. He simply has no credibility left. I mean, what planet is Jimmy Carter from? Looking at North Korea, you know, the worst extant police state probably on the face of the earth, where the people have been reduced to eating wild grass and each other from time to time, and to blame this on lack of sufficient U.S. aid. You know, the one thing the United States would love to do, a top international priority for us, would be to come in and provide real aid and real assistance to the North Korean people, but you can only do that in the absence of the regime that's there. And they've made it clear that as long as the Kim establishment is there, that we're not going to be able to do anything really to help the people. And anything we do to try to help them will just prop up the regime and their nuclear ambitions and the rest of it. So Jimmy Carter is insane and should go home and go back to Georgia and shut his big mouth. He's a damn national embarrassment.
Absolutely right. And as Jim pointed out in today's Morning Jolt, this is the same guy who tried to work behind the scenes through diplomatic circles to undermine the first Gulf War, not just publicly speaking against the idea, but literally trying to convince other governments that President Bush the First was trying to add to the coalition not to take part. Just truly reprehensible behavior for a guy who's used to reprehensible behavior in on a number of ways.
Yeah, I used to just think he was ignorant. I resisted the idea that he was acting out of malice and bad motives for years and years and years. But I've since come around to that point of view. I think he's just a legitimately wicked human being who has motives and ambitions that are inexplicable to me. But this is beyond naivety and ignorance.
On to number three now, and on to the bizarre and the frivolity and, Kevin, the exhausting insanity of the—I don't know if it's the media, the number of people who actually care about the royal wedding, but the wall-to-wall coverage. If this was just a quiet Friday with not much happening, you could kind of just suck it up and take it. But when you have 300 people dead in the South from tornadoes, you've got a space shuttle, you've got an economy in shambles, you've got an international stage with, you know, another bloody Friday in Syria and so forth, the fact that this is not only leading but dominating the coverage— and millions upon millions of people, for whatever reason, care about this is just truly baffling.
Yeah, you know, this is one of those days that makes me glad I don't own a television. And I never have, so I get to miss a lot of it. I'll tell you what, it's been you know, years now since I've been a capital R Republican, member of the Republican Party, but I'm still a small R Republican. And when I look at these royals, these monarchists, and the way people get, you know, all bent out of shape around it, it just makes me want to throw up. Now, I can believe a lot of things, and I can make room for superstitious beliefs and religious beliefs and things like that. But the idea that there's some special family that goes back in history that identifies your national character, I can even do that. But this family? No. That I cannot buy. You know, if there were a way for the family to corporately abdicate and have themselves replaced with some other group of foreigners, that would be maybe a step in the right direction for Britain. But, yeah, it's a horrible, shameful, embarrassing, distasteful spectacle. I'll be glad when it's over. And frankly, you know, even though I'm a conservative in the very traditionalist sense and I've got a Burkean strain to me, if the Brits decided to abolish the monarchy, you know, I wouldn't shed a tear.
Yeah, it's interesting how we get all excited about the very institution we revolted against over 200 years ago.
Yeah, and plus, if they got rid of the monarchy, that would ease the way for us to eventually incorporate Britain as the 51st state once it gets its economy back in shape and it's, you know, more attractive to us than Puerto Rico.
Kevin, oh, great to end on a rant. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you later.
You too. Have a good one.
Thanks. Kevin Williamson of National Review Online, something for Jim Garrity today. Again, Jim will be back on Monday. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Join us Monday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.